All right, welcome back. More of the Connor Amper Show here on 1620 The Zone and on 1620thezone.com. A long and busy weekend. The basketball, even the football. Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Athletic Directors and Presidents and all this stuff. Kind of just, we forgot about all of it. Sam McEwen joins us now on the 42 Degrees Source Hotline. Hi, Sam.
Hey, what's up, man?
It's not very often where Nebraska hires a new athletic director, and I really didn't think about it for about four straight days.
I know. Basketball's pretty sweet. And we had a great first weekend of both NCAA tournaments. You know, the women's are a little less, surprising in the first weekend because there's very few upsets. But the men's tournament was terrific. There's just a lot of really interesting games. And, you know, we're going to have a great Sweet 16. I mean, there's just epic matchups up and down the board on Thursday and Friday. Creighton's one of them. You know, that's going to be a great one. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm super fired up for the next round. We did have, like, you know, the conversation coming out of the first weekend is that it was sort of chalky. Like, we don't have a total Cinderella. Oakland got pretty close. Obviously, they took down Kentucky. As you've made this point before, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world because it gives us what we have lined up for this weekend.
It's not the worst thing in the world, for sure. And, you know, I don't think you're going to see four number one seeds in the final four.
I agree.
So I think there's upsets to come, but they're going to be teams that you're like, yeah, that, you know, these are teams that you thought were going to contend for the national title. I think that's what it's going to be more like. And, you know, we'll see how it transpires. I mean, I know that UConn has the most loaded region, but UConn only has to play one between Iowa State and Illinois. They don't have to play both. And Purdue has to play Gonzaga, which is hard, and then they got to play either Creighton or Tennessee. So I think Purdue has the toughest road at this point, and Houston might be second because they got to play Duke. Duke, when Duke's playing well, is very good, and then they're probably going to have to play Marquette. So UConn is no longer, regardless of what Danny Hurley says, they don't have that hard of a road because they're playing a team they're going to beat. They're going to beat San Diego State. They're better than San Diego State in every relevant way that both teams are good, and then they only have to play one or the other. You know, those two teams get to hammer each other on whatever night that is, Thursday night, and only one of them is going to play.
I think Hurley just says stuff. Like, honestly, I don't even think he really even means it. Like, I think he's just messing with everybody.
Yeah, it's very true that Iowa State and Illinois are Final Four contenders. And, you know, if Illinois was in a different region, they would probably be in my Final Four, and it's probably the same with Iowa State. If you swapped Iowa State and Marquette, I'll take Iowa State there. To be very honest with you, if you swapped Illinois and Creighton, I'd probably take Illinois in that region. I'm taking Creighton in that region. So, I think there's a legitimate case to be made, but you only got to play one of them. And those two teams will, again, they'll wear each other out for 3 hours, and then you get to, you know, benefit from the fact that you only have to play one. So I think it's going to be a great weekend of basketball. But no, I don't think you can guarantee anything going into the weekend. There's no lock to make the Final Four. UConn is close, but we'll see. And I think there's a chance for a lot of fun on Saturday and Sunday in the Elite Eight.
So you think Creighton's going to the Final Four?
Yeah, I picked that before the NCAA tournament began. I thought the Oregon game was going to be really hard. So I picked Oregon to win and beat South Carolina. And then I thought that would be a really hard game for Creighton because they have great athletes. And I thought Creighton actually played quite well against Oregon. They just, you know, a couple shots didn't fall early. And now they play a team that, you know, people would be watching Tennessee for the first time. I'll be honest. I don't like SEC basketball. I like the SEC. So I don't watch much of Tennessee. But if you look at just what they bring to the table, I think Creighton's a better team. We'll see. That doesn't mean that Creighton will win. And then I think Alabama's a better team than Tennessee, and Creighton beat Alabama by one. And then you have Purdue. And I mean, I'll take Creighton over Purdue any day. If Gonzaga's there, maybe a little different story. But I'll take Creighton over Purdue. You know, you can neutralize that ED. You won't stop him, but you'll neutralize him with Colt Brenner. And then every other supporting, I mean, you can look at the supporting cast around the centers, and Creighton got better basketball players. I mean, Fletcher Lawyer against Baylor Shireman and Braden Smith against Trey Alexander. Come on. I mean, Creighton's the better team. And they may even be favored. I don't know. So I like Creighton to go to the Final Four if it lines up. Gonzaga would be tricky. I think Gonzaga would be a hard team for Creighton to play for a lot of different reasons, including the fact that they have a slightly better point guard than Creighton does. And we all know who he is.
Hey, what's the what's your emerging thought from Nebraska's loss? And I was talking about it a little bit before. Obviously, they were out-athleted in the game.
Yeah.
I just kind of felt like Nebraska lost their composure a little bit, and you know, it could have gone at least a little bit differently. Maybe they don't win that game as many times as we would have wanted to believe before. But I also didn't think they were the best version of themselves on Friday night. Like, what's your sort of takeaway?
I think they were probably ticked off that A&M was hitting a lot of shots that they hadn't hit most of the season.
Yeah.
And so what would have been a 10 to 12 point lead that you could then sort of think about and protect a little bit halfway into the second half didn't exist. And so it was a tie ball game with like 8 minutes in the first half. And that's kind of when the athleticism kicks in, is when you're starting to get tired. Yeah, I don't think Nebraska played very good defense in the back half of the first half, and then not in the second half at all. I mean, A&M got whatever it wanted. I'm always a person that's like, let's change the page right away. There's time to marinate, and, you know, there'll certainly be that. But the transfer portal is such that you don't really have a room to pause. And so Nebraska, I think Fred Hoiberg's a pretty sharp guy. There's no way that he's going to say, we'll just run this thing back mostly and we'll kind of, you know, we'll be back basically where we were. He knows that they won't be. And so they're not going to sneak up on anybody. There will be a different and better game plan for guys like Bryce Williams. There already had been an evolution in guarding Rink Mast. Rink, you know, was better early in the season. And then he kind of dovetailed at the end. And so, you know, I think Fred knows they've got to get better defensively. They've got to find, you know, an additional piece or two. Do you need a point guard? I mean, it's unfair to – I'll let people who want to be sentimental about the season be that. That's never really been my perspective as a writer or a columnist, analyst. That's just not what I do. So, you know, other people can talk about how lovely it was. The reality is Nebraska will shape the fortunes of next season in the next month. And so they don't have much time. They've got to get it right in the portal. They've got to find, you know, a way to add there. Because I'll be honest with you. Their high school recruits, and maybe this kid from Wisconsin and Prager is going to be better, they haven't done very well recruiting out of the high school ranks. Yep. They just haven't. Ramel Lloyd did not play at Nebraska. I'll be curious to see if the center that they signed late, if he's here next year. I mean, they struggled to get that piece right. And if you're going to say, well, what's the difference between Nebraska and Iowa State, a team that I watched over the weekend? Well, Iowa State got it right with recruiting. You know, they got a kid that you know, Monsalovic is averaged 12 points as a freshman. He's going to be all Big 12 here in, you know, in a couple of, maybe next year. And Nebraska has not been able to do that. You know, they haven't been able to get that kind of freshness. And it would help for them to do that, but the reality is I don't know that that guy is, you know, currently on their roster. So, and I don't know that these two guys coming in are those guys. It's hard for me to tell. The track record says Nebraska needs to add in the transfer portal because they haven't necessarily nailed it with the high school recruit.
Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald is with us. Okay, Sam, so maybe we could try and tie this thing into one. What did you think about Nebraska's, you know, quick, speedy efforts to hire a president and a and a athletic director over the last couple of days here. Is there anything to read into of that part of the conversation, or do you just kind of go to like, hey, this is what they have now, and let's evaluate that for what it is?
Yeah, you know, it's I don't know that this will sound odd. I don't know how connected they are. I think they would have been very connected if Kaborik had been named, you know, the priority candidate. So I think that, you know, Jeffrey Gold has been a name out there for a while. And so I think what happened is, you know, the Regents settled on, yeah, this is the person. And that he wasn't new to this process. And I don't know how hands-on he'll be with athletics. That's not his, you know, been his trademark. So I would say that the athletic director hire was notable and with its speed, for sure. I think you have a football coach who knows people and is somebody people want to work with, and not one of these guys that kind of sits back and says, "Well, you know, I guess I'll meet the guy. Boy, you know, I sure hope he's all right." Rule is not that person.
Yeah,
not a bunker football coach. So I think he was pretty active in this process and pretty engaged. And that probably helped them a little bit to move the dial. And there's some, I don't know what it is. There's something in Washington that doesn't. It's really not Nebraska thing to worry about. And I think that may come up Tuesday of, like, you know, poor Washington. Outside of the football coach, who I'm sure is annoyed, and he should be, I don't know that there's any other person within that department that's going to be like, wow, you know, they'll get a new boss and they'll move forward and there they'll go. But there's something not quite, you know, the money or whatever it is isn't lining up quite the same way. So I can understand why the move was made from Washington to Nebraska. I guess what I'm saying is I don't know that there would have been a move from Oregon to Nebraska. I think Washington has just got some,
right,
maybe some challenges. I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, I think Nebraska lined it up quickly. Kaborik obviously got the contract extensions done that I think were already in the works before Trent left.
I was going to ask you about that too, but we could put a pin in that, for finish that thought.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different things that were sort of in play. And Hoiberg was going to be an off-season attractive spot. You know, like, he was going to be an attractive candidate to a lot of schools. And so Nebraska had to make a, you know, a very straightforward decision there. And they did. You know, they guaranteed his contract, I think. Now that he's gotten the thing back to where it needs to be, I don't think this program's going to go backwards. I think it's going to be, they're either going to stay kind of where they're at, or they're going to take the jump. Kind of where Iowa State's gone, or whomever. Creighton's gone. You know, we'll see if they do it. So I think things are fairly pretty well aligned. What I would say about the new presidential candidate is I don't think he's going to meddle in athletics. And he has lots of other things to do at the university. And I'm not sure it's necessarily a bad thing. I think Ted Carter had an affinity for it. And he meshed really well with Trev Albert. I think Ted Carter's predecessor was kind of a meddler, and I don't know that that's what everybody. So I don't think Gold will do that. I think there'll probably be some sort of intermediary there, and that's probably how it'll go. So we'll see what happens.
So the Dannon press conference is tomorrow, if I'm getting all this straight, and then, you know, Nebraska opens spring practice. What, today or over the weekend? It's hard for me to keep track of days anymore, Sam.
Yeah, they're practicing today. And then they moved it from Sunday to Monday. So, they're practicing today, and then tomorrow and Thursday. And then I think next week it goes to, like, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So, yeah, that's kind of what they're doing.
And then there's a week for spring break where they take it off, right?
I already had that.
Or they already had that.
So,
Okay.
No, it's just gonna go from here. So no, they'll spread out their practices as such that they'll just go through it, and then I think the spring game is the 26th or whatever it is. But no, they'll just practice all the way through, and again, like we've talked about this already, I think it's a really interesting team, for sure. I don't know that there's a ton of questions surrounding the program except for, you know, in that signature spot and how does that go? So, like, you know, invariably what we do is we talk to players, usually the good players. They talk about momentum and off season, and, you know, we write about how good they were last year and things like that. Again, I think that's valuable and source building and all those things, but I think part of my job is to say, hey, here's what I think the story is,
mm-hmm.
within whatever. The story of this team is that they're coming along in culture and they're coming along in line development. I think the piece that everybody wants to see most closely is quarterback play. It's going to be hard to assess that at least before the spring game and maybe before the season begins. So can they get better around the quarterback? That's another question. Can the running backs and the receivers get better? Can you surround the quarterback with, you know, a top six skill group in the Big Ten? You don't have to be number one. It won't be number one. That's going to be Ohio State or Oregon.
Yeah.
But can you be top six? Because if you're top six, well, all of a sudden, you're actually pretty good. And you're probably like top 25 in the country, and you're helping that quarterback out. I think last year, because of injuries and other reasons, Nebraska was not top six out of 14 teams and may not even have been top eight. So I think if they can get better around the quarterback, that will help too.
Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald. Sam, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Sam McEwen. So much going on, Josh.
That was just, it needed to be. You're just ping-ponging everything. So much going on.
Also, I had to make him give me like the bullet points on spring ball.
Tell me what's going
on. It's just
Sam.
So far. Honestly,
let me copy off your notes.
And I think there's something to this. I don't think this is bad at all. In fact, I think it's good. It's just not on my radar
yeah,
right now.
Absolutely.
It's just not on my radar. And I understand that we have people who listen to the show who are like diehards. Like, I would rather listen to you guys talk about if they could have three all Big Ten players this year rather than, you know, the Sweet 16 game last night. I understand that there are people like that. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to take a step back. Like Sam said, reevaluate big picture. What is the problem? Or I should say the story, as Sam said it. And, you know, there's some of that that we're just, most of that we're just not going to know until they go.
Let them bake in private. And when they think that cake is ready to be served, I'll eat it up.
Yep, that's right. I'll take the cake. All right, still plenty to come. Ohtani.
This guy.
Kim Mulkey. Caitlin Clark. Wow, those are three very polarizing people at the moment, Josh.
They really are.
So many things to get to with each of those as we return on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone. But a quick reminder to join the VIP Club and sign up for 1620 The Email. You'll be the first to know about all the exciting content, giveaways, things that are happening on 1620 The Zone, news, contests, promotions, and more. Sign up today for the old email list, 1620thezone.com.
I'm a fabulous driver.
The Connor Happer Show.
I'm one of the best friends you could ever have in your life.
On 1620 The Zone.
I hate you.